from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bonus Podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
We are October the 14th? Is that what we are?
Yes, the month is flying by. It's almost done. Half done.
I know, eh? It's kind of scary. Yeah. Half done. And that's how I feel everything's been going.
Well, get this. This is why it's freaking me out. It's because two more days, we'll be halfway through October. I don't feel like I have anything done. And plus, to make it even worse, I'm at the gym today. Boo. I'm looking outside the window, and it snows.
You know, I went to the gym before it snows. It snowed. I only heard about it on the webs. I just don't even look outside the fucking window anymore.
Yeah, everybody in Kiwa, all the people on your Facebook were like, it's snowing. Everybody tweeting, no.
Yeah.
You got to understand, it's happening for us here in Canada. We're preparing to lock down for winter.
Stupid.
And it doesn't,
winter, I hate it.
And it doesn't even look like we're being helped by global warming at all. It's like it's earlier than ever this year. Last year it was pretty mild right up until
January. That's why they call it climate change now, because the climate is unstable and you don't know what the fuck is going to happen.
I just figure it's kind of like a woman with menopause. Just the swings get wilder and wilder, baby. Mother Nature's a bitch.
You know what? Here's the thing. I mean, everything happens in such slow geological time frames. Really, our own lifespan isn't that really significant. What's a year? Nothing. A year is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the temperature stayed similar year by year for a couple decades. What a big surprise. And then all of a sudden, bam, ice age for like 10,000 years. Yeah, that shit happens. Fucking New York was buried under 2 fucking miles of ice. That shit was real, dog. That shit was real.
Yep.
Lots of ice.
Well, hopefully it won't be that bad this year.
Well, you know, we're not... I don't think we're going to have an ice age, but...
You do think it's going to get pretty shitty this year? Is this what the Groundhog Jake is predicting? Is it a brutal winter?
I think it's going to be pretty brutal. We're trying to fucking hunker down and make sure that we're ready for this one. Psychologically, it's just poor. It's just hard to be, you know... poor and cold. This is a bad combination, man.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to be the two of these.
I'm just glad that we're North American poor and cold and not like Eastern European poor and cold.
Like countryside of Russian Siberia there with... There's not a single window in that country that isn't cracked. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. That's how poor everybody is. So you just get nice and drunk and numb until you fucking die cold. What a wonderful life that sounds like, eh?
I'll take over here.
Fuck that shit. Here's what I want to talk about today, follows this bonus show. I want to talk a little bit about CARM, which is this site basically called the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. So they call themselves CARM. They got a cool acronym. CARM.
Is it CARM.com, or did they get a good web address, or is it kind of like CARM?
Oh, yeah, it's CARM.org.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now just so I understand this properly, what exactly is an apologetic? And is this a term, I suppose, that they use themselves? It just doesn't seem like the kind of word that you would actually use for yourself.
It does seem a little kind of weird, right? You're saying, why would you apologize for your religion? Because that's the kind of signal that you get in your brain, right? An apologetic probably apologizes. What an apologetic does is that they go through all of the inconsistencies and the problems of the Bible, and they try to address it like fucking head on. They're like, this is still correct because according to this twisted logic, bam, this is still correct. Now, you're going to find a lot of different types of apologetics, all right? You have the apologetics that are sort of more literalist, so they're going to apologize for everything in the Bible. They are just, I mean,
they're trying to rationalize away every single little whatever about everything, like the Garden of Eden is real, the Noah's Ark happened, the world was flooded.
Oh, yeah, much more specific than that, because they point out to the specific flaws, like saying, well, why does it mention many gods? So that later they respond, well, it's because God is a Trinity and he's a triune God, so he talks to all of his other selves sometimes. So that's one of the explanations.
Ooh,
so,
that doesn't sound like a very... That first explanation wasn't even a very good explanation.
They also say that when God references other gods, he's referring non-existing entities. So that's another thing that they put out there.
Maybe God knows something that these people don't know.
Well, again, they're apologetics. I mean, you really want to have a fucking laugh. I mean, you go to karm.org, all right? You go there fucking immediately. It's also really quite strange because you try to go... I was trying to get a read here because, again, apologetics, it's not across the board, you know? They might take on a stance that's more scientific sometimes or not. Fuck, man, it is all over the board.
Would an apologetic be somebody that says as well... Look, the Bible is generally a collection of stories and this and that. Does that fall into the apologetic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Range?
Yeah, that falls
like
within
that. People that just kind of selectively say, story, I'll follow, you know, which one's which.
Like I said, there are different kind of branches. There are people, apologetics that will say, well, this part you have to interpret as, you know, an allegory. Well, this one is supposed to be literal.
Well, this one was told by the burning bush. What the bush that's on fire says, whatever it says, goes.
Look, I mean, are you not going to listen to a bush that is on fire?
I'll listen to it. It's probably saying, I'm hot. Watch out. Don't get too close.
Be like, you're hot, motherfucker. Yeah. That's what it's saying.
It's saying, smoke more crack. Whatever you did, it was good.
It's like, here, Ten Commandments. Now let's go fly away in the magic music land. Bow, wow. Yeah, I think we saw some of that, you know, type of videos in the 60s, the psychedelic shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what a burning bush says to me. But, okay, so like I was saying, I mean, I was trying to get a feel, and they had this one section on abortion. And it was really quite strange because this is the same website that was trying to prove that the story of Noah's Ark could happen.
And just I know this might be a side story, but it delighted me so much when you told me the story behind, you know, the real story, the true story of Noah's Ark and what they had basically come to. So if you want to just quickly recap, you didn't have to be longer than a sentence.
Tell
our listeners what the apologist reasoning is for Noah's Ark being real.
Okay, well, basically, they try to take the numbers of the possible animals and say, well, here we're going to make a measurement of what the, you know, sort of how many cubicles you would need, what kind of behavior that they would have to display, how many different types of species are there currently alive. So
how big the boat would have to be, how much food?
They actually don't go into the specifics of food, nor do they go into the specifics of the boat. They actually seem to kind of divide it weirdly, as in just, well, they could have fit in 340 sections. I mean, he's just making up fucking sections. It's not like this is any real science here, but...
We need an apologist for the sections.
They really do. I mean, it was pretty funny when they were just trying to list the amount of bug species that there were. So their list was something at about 820,000. I'm like, oh, come on, man. You're off by about 6 million. That's a pretty big number to be off.
Yeah, but when you think about it, aren't all bugs just bugs? It's kind of like
the
people.
Bugs, man.
Yeah, it's just bugs. Can't we all just get along? Bugs?
And there were two of every bug. No. Two bugs came on, and the bugs multiplied and looked weird.
Except for the hermaphrodite bugs and the bugs that change sex and all of those other creepy things that...
Or the
God
bugs that
never,
clone themselves.
God never explained that whole man. He made a man and he made a woman, and then when he was making the bugs, he was just like, oh, I'll put a dick and a vagina on there. I'll just fucking slap
No, man. It's like some of them even have two dicks. I think the termite or something has two dicks.
Man.
I think actually there is one bug that may have three. It's quite impressive.
Hey, here's a question for you. If women are allowed to do that whole fertility thing to have like eight kids, can't we...
Get more dicks?
Yes.
You want more dicks?
Here's the thing.
You want two dicks, don't you?
I figure that two dicks would be such an oddity that I would get sex forever. Because interestingly enough, like I was reading a thing about this guy named Jonas something. He has the biggest penis in the world.
Yeah, I've seen that thing.
Yeah.
It's gigantic.
And it
looks like a baby foot.
I don't know. This probably doesn't swell speak for all women, but it seems like there are enough women out there who are into the novelty of different things that you could definitely... And to me, the idea of two dicks is perfect because then you get two chicks who want to check...
What are you talking about two chicks? The proximity of both would just mean that you'd be constantly DPing. You know?
I suppose.
It would just be a constant DP.
Okay.
And trust me, I'm sure that there's plenty of girls that are looking for that, a DP experience with one man, all natural. I mean, who knows the wonders of genetics in the future? In the future, there'll be two dicks.
Yeah, you can grow your foreskin back, no problem, if it gets cut off at birth.
That barbaric custom still exists in the future.
Yeah, and we can have two dicks. I like it.
Okay, can we go back to talking about the story of Noah here while we're on the subject of dicks? All right. So beyond the calculation, so he's just saying, actually, here's how he was fair, because the Bible doesn't only say to bring two of every animal. That's a common misconception. Sometimes they're like, bring several of these types of species. Bring more of them on. And, you know, obviously, if it's just a fucking story where, say, oh, I don't know, a Babylonian king named Zeusudra possibly had the kind of similar experiences where there was a flood in the Euphrates and he commandeered a boat and brought a whole bunch of fucking merchandise, and lots of other local tribes also share kind of a similar Noah's flood-like concept. It would make a lot of sense that for birds, because this is what they recommended, birds, that they would have sort of more than just a pair, because birds are fucking fragile as shit and, you know, a little bit more fragile than a goddamn pig. So you want a few of them, they're going to break, is what I'm saying here. They're going to fucking break in your boat.
Yeah, and God has no warranty. If you fuck this up, Noah, it's fucked.
Also, no explanation as to how, you know, the various species were distributed all over the place. But, of course, you don't need to be specific when you're dealing with such silly stories.
I don't know. The guy had this pretty specific thing where he was talking about, well, the reasons the animals didn't eat each other was because they all went into holy hibernation.
No, well, he didn't say all of them, but he says animals are known to be in hibernation, and maybe God used their guiding systems to direct them over to the boat. I'm like, what? What? Maybe God did it? Oh, all right. That's good. That's how you're going to play it. How it's going
to
be played.
It's like you get to 70%, and then that extra 30 is like, God did it. It's like, I'm like, so what's your answer? I'd like to use a lifeline. The God did it lifeline.
Oh, man. That's the worst lifeline ever.
It's technically accurate. I would love to do that. If they ask me a question, I'd be like, all things through Jesus Christ. Bam!
You know what I found was the most disturbing, though, of this entire fucking website? I'll be honest with you. I'm browsing around here, and I'm looking at their section on abortion, because I'm definitely very curious about this.
So this is when it goes from laughs to like, oh.
Exactly, because it's not uncommon for, you know, these kinds of websites to have some pretty graphic shit. But the guy confesses, I'm assuming it's a dude, guy confesses that basically he had the first, one of his girlfriends that he had to have an abortion, and so that he can't really sort of try to play it off too hard is how he starts it off. Of course, that doesn't stop him from basically moralizing and saying that it's wrong, but oh yeah, you got it done. Oh, I see. All right, but you know, everybody else, no one can benefit from that other than you. I suppose that's how it goes. But anyways, that's not my point. The main point that I wanted to throw, the part that really disturbed me the most, was that one of the people writing in had described this woman, had described the fact that she had she was pregnant with a baby that had some kind of terrible disease that made it unable to finish developing. Like, it basically had no brain. So rather than terminate the pregnancy because they didn't believe in abortion, despite the fact that this baby would be brain dead or essentially just dead coming out, they decided to go through the whole process. And I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's the most disturbing shit I've ever heard of. It would have been simpler had you just taken care of it from the beginning, but you made a big deal out of it. You fucking gave it a name. Holy shit, you know? Holy shit. It's pretty fucking scary. Now, you have that at the same time. I mean, the person knew that this type of disease happens in like one in every 5,000 pregnancies or something like that. It's fucking scary, right? It just happens because nature is imperfect. Deal with it. And in the same breath, all of a sudden saying, oh, God is just so merciful. One in every 5,000. What's that supposed to be about? A test? Are you supposed to have that with your wife and fucking bury this baby without a head? Like, oh yeah, that seems like a really fucking fun time. Yeah. It's like, come on, people. God aborted it for you. You just have to fucking get rid of it now. Yeah. It's unpleasant, but it's got to be done.
I'm not going to go too much into, you know, the mindset of any woman that's going through something like that, because here's the whole thing. There's a gigantic contingency of this on the internet, of people You know, you ever see those fetus babies that they keep and they turn into dolls and this and that? Like, oh, my baby died inside of me and I'm keeping it around just like a doll.
Well, excuse me?
You've never heard of this?
I'm sorry, what? Stuffed babies? Well, they're not real.
No, they're not real, but basically...
They're not encased in Lucite or something insane, are they?
I'm not 100% sure exactly how it works. Some of the people just take... just have pictures that they Photoshop up to make them look like angels, and others keep the fetus around for a little while. There's all sorts of crazy stuff, and it's just part of. I mean, we're monkeys. We are monkeys. So yes, we are gonna keep these things around and make monkey noises and be like, and we're gonna be complete monkeys about it.
You got to embark on this. From a perspective, try to be smart about it.
Try to be rational.
There's going to be, well, it's yes, try to be rational. That's important too. But what you don't understand is generally when you have a child, there are physiological changes that are occurring, okay, in order for you to be able to feel some degree of attachment to it. That's just kind of a natural consequence of that whole process. Now, you're essentially forcing that this relationship is going to happen whether or not you want it to, regardless of how you prepared yourself for it. You're just setting yourself up for fucking failure, for a disaster, really. I mean, yes, it's a very painful procedure to have an abortion. Well, painful emotionally, I'm going to say. Mm. But I think it's a lot more painful, both emotionally and physically, to just give birth to a dead baby,
I
okay?
I think maybe they were worried if they aborted it, it would go to hell.
I think it's always messed up. When you have a belief that is irrational and makes no fucking sense, then, yeah, who knows what you're capable of thinking.
I just think the... I mean, these people that have to go through this, I feel nothing. I'm not going to make fun of it. I just feel nothing but badness. This is the only thing worse than a gay religious person, a really religious gay person, is, say, a really religious person who needs an abortion because, man.
Oh, it's so much trouble. And you know what? They always need it more because statistically, they use less birth control. They fuck more. They like porn more. You know, they're a lot more sexually fucking, what's I'm looking for? Active, ironically enough.
The repression brings about more activity.
It's just hotter, you know? Hotter. Because it's a fucking sin or something like that. Like, for me, sex is no big thing. I see other creatures out in nature having it all the time. I'm like, I got over it. I realize it's just one of those. When you want it, you want it. But other than that, you can just kind of pretty much ignore that impulse, and it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's like we have friends down south. Their dog is always trying to be a sinner with my leg, and I'm just like, yep, that's pretty much just shows you how woo it is.
Yeah, it's so special and magical. A fucking dog wants to hump your leg. Ah, the circle of life.
Yeah.
Speaking of Disney bullshit, the one thing that I did want to say is that there was a study that was released. This was featured at BBC News, and I linked to it because you know we're on the tangent of abortion, and fucking wrote about it today, so we're going to talk about it today.
Sure.
And there was a study that found that in countries where they have restrictions on abortion, it makes no statistical difference as to the amount of women that actually still seek the procedure. So, surprise, surprise, even if you fucking make it illegal, women still get as many abortions as if it wasn't. So, you know, I know there's no pro-lifers listening. Why would they pay for this show? But obviously I'm going to rant about it because it's fucking insane. I mean, obviously, can we all just be adults here? Can we just all admit that these things happen? People will seek out abortions. They just do it. And they will do it even if it risks their lives. Like, they just cannot have those children for... Who knows what reason? I don't care what the reason is, honestly. It's not my business. But, I mean, to all these people that decide that they're going to make laws against it, you're creating so many more new problems. You're creating scoff laws, people that you now have to, what, prosecute, put in jail, do something about. And then these same people are going to take gigantic health risks to get rid of unwanted pregnancies. Why would anybody want to make this illegal? Why are you so stupid? You obviously see that it doesn't work, and it increases human misery. So, you know, you just have to get off your high horse. You have to accept that it's a fucking fundamental fact of life that, you know, just the process of it is brutal and scary and undirected and horrible, and we try to minimize that as much as possible, but we're not always going to get it right.
Yeah, people are just... Most of these people are just ridiculous. They don't understand any of the science behind the cutoff dates for abortions and stuff like that. There was a situation in the UK where a fertility clinic had a bunch of sperm samples, or I can't remember what they were. They were eggs or something like that.
Some kind of gametes.
Yeah, that they had to get rid of, and they tried to get in touch with all of the donors and say, hey, what do you want us to do with these? But they had, you know, it was these things were like 10 years old, and they was like, it's 10 years old, time to do something. All these people had moved around.
And by that time,
anybody.
Those people probably have had kids already, and they're like, I don't want any fucking other kids. God damn it, they're annoying enough already.
Yeah, but they're looking around trying to find these people, and there was maybe like 120 that they just couldn't track down for whatever reason. So they were going to destroy them. And of course, everybody was freaking out. Oh, you got them. What are you going to do with them? And give them to us and we'll put them in our bodies and give birth to them. I'm like, you stupid retards. These are like, I can't remember the specific scientific explanation, but it's like there were three cells. It was
the zygote. It's essentially...
Exactly. It's just a couple of fucking microbes in a goddamn Petri dish, you fucking idiots.
It ain't nothing. It is less than nothing.
And it's like, if you accept that fact, and then let's slide down the scale till you get to where a baby is actually a baby and not just a... Or when a fetus is a fetus and a human being and not just being some fucking globular mess.
That's well, we already have a cutoff.
We already set off that fucking cutoff date. I just don't understand why anybody has an issue past that. Because we dealt with it rationally, scientifically... quite a while back.
From what I understand, actually, they judge it based on the development of the lungs. Because they feel that if you have lung capacity to some degree, you could survive on your own because you need to breathe.
From my reading, they really did a good job of saying we are going to give it that... It's got to pass a very general sniff test where it's like, this is the point, and after this point, you can't because it might be considered this and that. And they really pandered over. They gave all of, they took it as early as they could. So
definitely not a decision that was made arbitrarily, you know, despite what everybody else must think out there that are pro-lifers. They're like, oh, certainly, it begins the conception. Like, if you're gonna come to the table and you're gonna bring in these, you know, implacable, you're either fucking with us or against us, and we're not willing to compromise. You need to fucking leave the table. All right, we've already listened to these complaints. They've tried to be incorporated, but the honest truth is, these fucking procedures happen. They happen all the time, and that's it. And you know what? For the most part, nature does most of the aborting for us. We just have to fucking clean up the mess. Like I said before, I mean. There's lots of terrible birth defects that are just a normal occurrence, and the doctor's like, we got to abort, or else it's going to be horrible. Listen to that fucking doctor.
Well, it's really funny the cycle that religious people seem to be stuck in, where you've got a situation where a lot of religions say no birth control, and then they also say no abortions. So it's almost like, remember that Sarah Silverman episode where the company made the food that gave you diarrhea and then sold the diarrhea to
medicine and the
diarrhea
toilet paper?
Medicine? Yeah. It kind of see that it's this ridiculous perpetuating fucking cycle of no birth control, no abortion. And it all, of course, just leads down that whole sanctity of life thing.
I just want to just say this out there. I mean, the sanctity of life, my fucking ass, all right? They don't believe in sanctity of life for one fucking minute. It's just, it's one of those concepts that, oh, well, a baby is totally pure because, I mean, technically it's not born yet. So it hasn't known sin. So it is fucking perfect the way that they see it. And that's just what it is. Oh, once it's born, fuck it. You know, I don't want to take care of this fucking thing. I mean, it's poor. I don't want yep. Hide it in the ghettos. It'll probably have a life of crime and then get executed for all I care. Who gives a shit?
And where's the sanctity of life for the people who are dying from diseases that stem cell research could help out? There's so many examples. Or where's sanctity of life for all the people these people want put to death?
It's an easy thing to say when it only has to fit in your very, very predetermined mold. Oh, I believe in life. Oh, really? You believe in life? What kind of a pronunciation is that? Believe in life. What the fuck does that mean?
I would love it if it was true. Because if Christians were all like, I believe in the sanctity of the life, I'll see you in Africa where I'm trying to fix shit. I'll be like, good on you, Christians. Let's do a radio show called Christians Are Awesome. And let's talk about all the awesome things Christians are doing to save people's lives.
Yeah, save people's lives that exist now. And then sort of like, oh, well.
Work backwards.
Why don't you start by, giving condoms away in Africa? That would be a really fucking easy thing. And trust me, you got the money. You have the fucking money. You have it. But, you know, obviously you probably dangle it in front of, like, the cross. Be like, you got to say you love Jesus or I'm not going to give you this life-saving medicine or this food. Strings attached. Yay.
Speaking of they've got the money, I want to step back for a second. We also were talking about Sarah Silverman. She put a video up on YouTube, didn't she? Or about
selling the Vatican to feed the poor. Ah, Sarah Silverman. Man. You know, I'd hit on her if it wasn't for the fact that I'm a nobody. I'd totally hit on her.
No, you know what? The truth of the matter is she's too sharp for me. I'd be horrifically intimidated by her.
Ah, you wuss. You yeah. wuss. No, I love absolutely. Him like that. I like a fucking challenge, man. I like a woman to be smarter than me. That's hot. Mm. That's fucking hot. Until she calls you a dumbass. You know?
Yeah.
Then that's not so hot. Then you're like, oh, baby, that hurts. That hurts.
Okay, I just wanted to bring that up quickly.
Yeah,
you got nothing
else? Check it out on the site. That's going to be something good. I wanted to talk about something now completely different. This is stuff I was reading for my research in the book I'm doing.
Oh, and, the book again, because we were talking about that on the last show, but it's kind of changed a little bit, right?
It has changed a little bit just because I started realizing I was doing a little bit of research on the biblical character that shares my fucking nomenclature, right? So I was like, I want to know who Jacob is. What the fuck does Jacob mean? Interestingly enough, it translates quite literally to leg puller. And sometimes people know of Jacob as the struggler with God, because he wrestles God and shit like that, you know, for no reason. You know why he wrestles God? Here's the great thing
about
the story.
Because wrestling was popular at the time, right?
Well, I mean, other than just wrestling. He's on this mountain, top of this mountain, and all of a sudden he sees this stranger, asks him to identify himself. Stranger doesn't, so they wrestle. This is how it was back then, man. It's like, who are you? Oh, he's not going to say anything. Time to wrestle him. And then for some reason, during the wrestling, it's not sure if it's an angel, if it's God, or whatever the fuck, mystical bullshit being, hits him in some part of his leg, right on his thigh, takes him out. And actually, that's a part of thigh, like the part of a meat, like on a cow or something like that, that Jews don't eat, because they say it's some kind of like curse on that particular muscle.
Because an angel or God whacked him in the Charlie horse yeah. during a wrestling match. They can't eat a piece of... Okay, continue.
Well, it's not all Jews, but I'm saying that's traditionally that there are many that just don't eat that because of this stupid superstition.
The crazy picky ones who won't ride elevators, who have to ride those Jewish elevators that you just stand on it and you wait for it to go to the right level. It's completely random, so you're not technically using energy. Or, yeah.
Well, whatever. You're not using technology during the Sabbath or whatever bullshit. Okay.
These people might be the ones to cut out that kind of beef.
Well, okay, they probably are, yeah. So here's some of the things that I was discovering, though. When I was reading the Bible, and I obviously was relying on a couple different sources, Skeptic's Annotated Bible, my own Gideon, and Wikipedia, so a number of different sources that I was trying to use. And one of the things that I kind of discovered is that even in the annotated versions, no one's really telling you what the fuck these stories are about, because they're still just kind of, I guess, cloaked in some religious mysticism. But at the end of it, they're just basically human stories, right? The story of Jacob is a really human story. And once you start seeing how people interject God in all of these stories, you kind of see that it's rather quite obvious that this is a book written by the losers. You know, the ones that constantly get their ass kicked? The Bible would be the book that the loser wrote to re-fucking write history to make him look like the winner. That's basically it. And I'll tell you the story of Jacob right here so you can fucking get a good concept of what I mean. And just a classic story is that his mom, which was, by the way, a child bride, married fucking Isaac, maybe the age of, they guess anywhere from 3 to 14. So you can take the middle there.
Whatever it is, it's still horrible.
It's fucking horrible. But so later on in Isaac's life, when he's an old man, he finally has a child with this, with Rebecca. That's the name of his mom. So Rebecca... This is according to the story. Rebecca's walking along, and, you know, it's a difficult pregnancy because it's twins. And she gets a revelation that they are going to be twins, and they're going to be very different. One's going to be sporty, one's going to be a nerd, and the nerd is going to rule over the sporty guy. Classic fucking Jewish tale, right? So basically what happens is that later on, when it's time to decide who's going to, you know, be the successor, is it Esau or is it Jacob? Because they're twins. Basically, Esau's like the man's man. You know, he's like really hairy. I guess that was a big fucking deal back then. A shitload of hair. Enough that, you know, in order to trick Isaac into believing that Jacob is actually Esau, his mother decides to weave sheep skin on Jacob's garments to trick Isaac, to make sure that Isaac basically says the words to pass on the fucking family fortune. And who's the paterfamilias? Who's the fucking... Who's the one to lead?
Just to step in for a second, if this was like a TV show and they did that and it worked, I would be highly skeptical. I'd be like, come on, that's just plot convenience, okay, theater. It just works because they said it worked. Oh, we put some shit on his arms. And it's like,
it's not just that, though. It's not just that. I mean, get this. This is just one part of the fucking deception, because Jacob is a piece of shit, all right? When he's 15, already they're fighting all the time. And he's 15, Jacob cooks some kind of meal. Esau comes in, he's fucking hungry as all hell, and he's like, I want to eat food. Jacob's like, I'll give you some food if you give me, you know, firstborn rights. Like, he's a piece of shit, basically. You know, constantly trying to fucking steal that right. And it wasn't just the fact that he basically put on the sheep's wool, because that's obviously not going to be enough. Isaac's blind, but he's not stupid. The first thing he notices as soon as Jacob walks in is there's a different smell. Now, remember, this is what... year minus whatever, they're going to stink balls, all right? They're going to smell bad.
And they're all going to have their particular brand of stank.
Yeah, probably very, very distinctive brand, you know, kind of stank. So Isaac's like, you smell like Jacob. And he's like, oh, no, it's me, it's Esau. So he keeps fucking lying all the time. He's even the stupidest motherfucker in the world, because when he walks in and he's asked to identify himself or why he returned from his hunting trip. Because, again, Isaac thinks that it's Esau who's just gone hunting. And he says, because your Lord God favored me. Which is weird, because Esau doesn't fucking talk like that. So I don't even know why Jacob talked like that. Apparently, he's not the fucking brightest bulb in the fucking...
Not the brainiest of
brains. Yeah, not the brainiest of brains. Okay. But I just love how the whole story is just boils down to this. Jacob's mom tricks her husband into making sure that her favorite son becomes the successor. So now what you do is you work backwards from that. Oh, well, she heard a revelation that, you know, he would do that. She doesn't say anything to Isaac about the revelation. It only becomes revealed when she basically fulfills it. So how is that a fucking revelation? You made it happen, bitch. It's quite clear that you made this happen. Hello. Royal pieces of shits, all right? And these are painted as the good guys. So Jacob walks off, decides he's going to go for a trip, and then he has this vision. He basically climbs this ladder up to heaven, and God repeats all these blessings, basically forgiving him for being a giant piece of shit and stealing the birthright of his brother. Mm-hmm. You know? But that's all whitewashing again. Oh, yeah, of course he went up to heaven, and God said, yeah, good job. That's what I wanted. I mean, can you believe it? Can you believe it? That's how they write this thing. So, you know, one of the things that I realize is that I don't think that people really kind of put the whole concept of what the hell these stories are about, because when you really boil it down to it, it's a pretty messed up shit. So I want to give you guys kind of an annotated version of what I was just talking about now. Really, the true story of all the characters of the Bible. What are they like? What the hell is going on? What are the politics here? Just so you can see where everything gets interjected. I mean, look at the New Testament. Every time fucking Jesus does something, they always follow it up so that the prophecy could be fulfilled. Well, that's really fucking convenient, isn't it? He did that so the prophecy could be fulfilled. It's like they know. It's like they know what they need to do for the prophecy, and then they do it. Of course they know. The prophecy was written in the past. Anybody that reads the fucking thing knows what the prophecy is. Oh, it says here the prophecy that the guy will be wearing size 11 shoes. Okay. I need size 11 shoes. Hello? It's like a manual for how to take things over from stupid people.
How to be Messiah.
Yeah, how to basically take over religion. It's like a fucking, like a code right there. Just make sure that you obey these rules, and if you don't, doesn't even matter. We're just going to totally inject you in.
I think it's going to be pretty delightful. I'm excited. This is the one thing that I do want to say. You were saying that this is the new direction of the book. I still think you're all fucking wrong. You've got to think this is a book. This is a book. You've got many books in you, my friend. Many offensive books.
I just need a really good editor. I don't take the time. You know what I do late at night when I'm not actually working on the site? I just go back and try to edit all my terrible mistakes that I made throughout the day, because I can't see them when I make them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Who are you going to get? You're too fucking busy to edit my shit, and I'm not going to ask you to do it.
Yeah, I gave up sending spelling mistake error. Do you want me to send spelling mistakes to you?
No, you know what? I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna seek out somebody who's constantly reading my shit, and I'm like, you notify me when I fuck up.
Or just give them access to an edit button. They can easily just be like, bang, fixed.
There you go. So I'm gonna
any super fans out there calling all super fans.
Just remember, I usually typically write these things pretty fast. So,
do you want to mop up after Jacob's carelessness?
A little bit careless. Got a lot of things to think about.
Yeah. No, trust me, I understand.
We're chugging along here. You know, this is all kind of most of the time, if there's an article up, it's just at least to get people to visit the site as often. Really, we put most of our effort in the fucking shows. It's like that's what's going on.
That's what's going on.
What's going on? Okay, so that's enough of that. We're going to catch everybody for the regular show. We'd like to thank everybody for being a patron. And just stay with us, people. We're going to have some really, really exciting stuff happening. Mm-hmm. We're taking everything that we're learning from Fightlinker and all the stuff that we're doing there, and we're going to be able to import that once Good Atheist gets big enough. Because this is the beauty. We're growing this puppy slowly but surely. And, it's the brighter future ahead, people. Brighter future ahead.
Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to meeting y'all at the atheist conventions around the world.
Oh, that's going to be some fun. Definitely on our list. This year is we're going to try to make it for the Amazing Meeting, because one of the things that I realized
The Amazing Meeting is like this month.
It's in December.
It's like December or January. There's no way we're going
to
make it.
I definitely want to try to make it.
We could try, but I don't think we're going to make it.
I think we can. I think we should include it in a budget, because here's the thing.
I know, but it's going to be like $2,000 at least.
We're going to do it on the cheap. We're going to figure out how to do it on the cheap.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, that'll be a
story.
We
can do it.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've done some shit on the cheap. I'm sure bus fare there would be like $180 in 3 days. Let's do it.
We're going to be in Vegas, man. There's going to be so much to do on both sides, right?
So much.
We got the Amazing Meeting. We got the fucking fight shit. Vegas needs to happen. We eventually need to go there. And I figure if I wanted to do the whole hot atheist chick calendar, it makes sense to fucking try to meet up with these girls and get a photographer there to take the pictures and get her done. Because it's not like somebody's going to go traveling around to all these different locations and do it. And otherwise, it might be too complicated to do. Plus, I'm sick and tired of us just sitting in a basement talking to nobody.
Hey, it's a garage, not a basement.
It's a garage. For now.
Soon it'll be the basement.
Soon
we'll upgrade to the basement.
Excellent.
Then we will be true bloggers.
True bloggers. Okay, with that, my name is Jacob Forge.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good atheist day, everybody.